the soul of the transgressor will eat violence.
Yes, that's coming up today. Welcome to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ. It's not going to be like that. I mean, I'm just being funny. In any event, let me pray for you guys and we'll get started in just a moment. Father God, thank you for guarding us, for preserving us, for allowing us to have a system where we can do the same. Father, today I do ask that you would guard our attention, that we have it solely on you, and may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be a good-smelling sacrifice to you. We love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, you know we got to do the thing.
It's time for Proverbs Every Day. Words of wisdom show you the way. Every month a whole new look, different version of the book, reading the whole chapter each calendar day. Proverbs Every Day. Proverbs Every Day.
All right, Proverbs 13 in the modern English version. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A man will eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor will eat violence. Oops. Eat violence. But I mean, yeah, the fruit of the man, I'm assuming this means a wise man. I'm just going to make that assumption that is part of that, way of saying it. It's just kind of implied, but, yeah, not sure. Verse 3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips will have destruction. Sometimes it's better to say nothing. But guarding your mouth, actually, that's a good thing here, too. So, it comes up a lot in Proverbs, which tells me that there's nothing new under the sun kind of a thing. But we miss it a lot that we're really called, especially in our modern day, to be very thoughtful about these kind of things and when we should be not saying anything, basically, of being silent. I'm not really sure if I need to say more about that, but guarding your mouth is really having that foresight of thought and practice. It won't come in the moment. It has to be a practice. You have to be ready at all times. And so when it's saying guarding, it's kind of implying that you are standing watch, you are guarding. So doing that with your mouth or the things you say specifically. Not meaning that literally guarding your mouth, being mindful about what you're saying. Verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent will be made fat. And sometimes, if you're like me, your physical body will be made fat as well. I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing, but to think of your soul being made fat, or well-fed, or however you want to interpret that. It takes that diligence. Mm. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness keeps him who is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. All right. Let's go ahead and say this once again, that I know a lot of folks have a background where they were basically tried to be scared into salvation. I was just talking to my wife about this yesterday, about how strange it is that this is something that is out there. Because when you look at scriptures, you don't get that. You know, you don't get that there's ever anything appropriate about trying to scare someone into salvation. It doesn't work. And so there's this notion of, well, if you do this, you're going to go to hell. Blah, blah, you know, you're going to be punished. But what we see here is, like in much of the scriptures, that it's not about, you know, whether or not you're going to hell or not. It's about just living a life that makes sense. And that when we say wickedness overthrows the sinner, we're saying that lifestyle is going to be punishment in and of itself. You know, eternity is another matter, but it's just like it's enough punishment just right there, just in what you're doing. You know, you're punishing yourself well enough. Don't you want to not have that? You know, it's that kind of thing. And I know reasoning with a child is difficult, that sort of thing, but at the same time, golly, doesn't it seem like it should be at least feasible? In any case, yeah. So I wouldn't worry so much about, you know, trying to convince someone that they're, you know, heading towards hell. But the Bible has plenty of evidence and logic to help you, help them see that, no, it's their current ways that are bad enough. Yeah. Verse 7. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. There's one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. It's kind of in your orientation. The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke. In other words, there's troubles that a wealthy person has that a person that's poor just doesn't have. And so coveting the wealth, you may not want everything it comes with. Verse 9, the lamp of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Verse 10, only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gained by vanity will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. We've talked about that one plenty of times. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. I think maybe that's when what is desired comes. Again, sometimes I think this translation is a little bit too literal. Verse 13, whoever despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Why am I yawning? My goodness. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man deals with knowledge,
but a fool lays open his folly.
A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful envoy is health.
Okay. Yeah, I think that generally makes sense. Just a weird phrasing. Poverty and shame will be to him who refuses instruction, but he who regards reproof will be honored.
Verse 19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil.
What's that desire again? I think
I'm just breaking this down a little bit. When we say desire here, what I'm getting is that this is much more of having your desire, if you will, in alignment with God, and not just having a selfish reason for that. So, for example, if I desire for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people to see this and be blessed by it, that's one thing. If I desire hundreds and hundreds of people to see this, to get something to my own benefit, like edification, whatever, then that's more, not good desire. So I think this is speaking more to the aligning your desires with God and having that transformation, if you will, of your why. You know, it really is important. And so it may seem like the same from the surface. It seems like the same result, right? You're seeing the same thing. Let's say that there's a, I'll just use the video case here just since I brought it up and it's fresh on my mind from a meeting I just came out of. Let's say that it's, you know, a video has suddenly 100,000 views on it. Well, that's pretty cool, right? That means 100,000 people have seen that. That's pretty mind blowing. You know, I don't know how many people that would mean are impacted by it, but if the desire is for the impact, that's all you're really thinking about. You're not thinking about the numbers or how validating it is or whatever. You're more thinking about, well, yeah, that's just amazing. I can't imagine having 1,000 people in my living room, much less 100,000. I can't even imagine 100. I don't think it's possible. So hopefully that's clear, is that aligning your desires with God and having that transform the reason you're doing it is where our character is established. It's not that the thing is just the thing, but our attitude towards it, that's what's important here. Verse 20 is a great one. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed.
Walk with the wise to become wise.
Watch for an announcement on that soon, by the way. There is a... I'm going to be trying something. I can't announce it today, but... it'd be one of those things where when I do, I have to do it in such a way that it'll be like at the very end so I can cut it off because once it'll be a very limited time kind of thing. But yeah, that's all I want to say about that. But watch for that. Hopefully even by tomorrow, I'll have that ready. Tomorrow or on the 14th, one of the two. Tomorrow's the 14th. Gosh. So look for that either on the 14th or the 15th is my hope. Just the way you can walk with others and become wise and kind of study along with them and have that opportunity. So that's going to be a great potential that I want to kind of just have some testing and validation out. And I would love to have you guys along. So I'll let you know. Verse 21, evil pursues sinners, but to righteous, good will be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Huh. Yeah, that's something that I have to admit, there's a lot of people that are, and it might just be my perspective, but a lot of folks that I know that don't have children. And so where does that inheritance end up at that point? And I would argue that it kind of doesn't matter as long as you are in that attitude of wanting to see the world better than you were brought into it. And that's a thing you can do as well. And I think for me, a legacy is probably even more important than inheritance. You know, I want to have an impact in that way. But yeah, nonetheless, those two might go hand in hand. They have for a lot of people. 23, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but for lack of justice, it is destroyed. That's a pretty weird translation of that. Tillage, meaning there's food in the fields that are not being owned, I guess, or tended to, that the poor would have access to in the society. They would be able to go into those fields and basically harvest for themselves. But, you know, destroying that would be a breach of justice. It would be, you know, unfair. Even though they don't own it, it doesn't mean that they're not being given access to it, you know. Hopefully that makes sense. Verse 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him early. It's so tough to think about and to talk about, but it's so vital. When it comes to discipline, if you have a undisciplined childhood, you'll have an undisciplined adult life. And so there is a passing on of that discipline. And it starts, like all things with humans, with the physical. You know, we need that connection. We need to know, oh yeah, there's a pain here that's involved with making this decision. And so I'm going to not make that decision. And trust me, I come from a psychology background. And so there is a lot of back and forth on this, usually not based on science, but based on agenda. And the honest truth is I cannot escape that positivity does tend to have more impact on good decision making, but it needs to be walking hand in hand with discipline. You know, I'm not, and I've never said, and I don't think I ever will say that your children should live in fear of you, because if they step out of line, they'll get disciplined. That shouldn't be what they're feeling. They should feel supported in their good decisions, and actually even more so if you can do that. But if you only support the good decisions, they're still, you know, they don't have a solid foundation. Think of it this way. When you think of a lanes on a highway, you know, we stay in those lanes because we know to, right? If we didn't have that notion, we'd be like your average, you know, young driver in the state of Tennessee who just goes in and out as they please, you know, not concerned about anyone else because they haven't been that, they don't have that discipline of knowing, you know, the rules of the road, the civility of safety. They just go from thing to thing, and it's honestly, it's pretty dangerous. I mean, what's going to happen? They're going to die, and that teaches them a lesson, you know? It is one of those things where proactive discipline and proactive kind of behavioral choices are important. You know, parents are there to raise adults. They're not there to raise friends, and they're not there to even raise children per se. What they're there to make children into adults. We say raise children all the time, and I really wish we'd stop saying that. Your goal is not to raise children. Your goal is to raise adults. So treat it that way. You know, take this seriously. You know, and obviously, I say it every time, but it needs to be said that if you are angry when you discipline, then you are in the wrong. You need to disconnect emotion from it. Well, I should say disconnect anger from it. Again, right here, verse 24, it says, he who loves him disciplines him early. So it's making that pattern now, and that is a display of love, not a, how dare you? I'm going to beat you until you stop doing that. That's not what this is. This is, I need to correct this in you. And not all discipline is, I know this implies that all discipline is physical, but that's not the case either. You know, verbal discipline, a admonition, you know, how often do you hear parents say, all right, you need to go tell Susie you're sorry. You know, that's a kind of discipline, you know. Anyway, one more. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked will want. In any event, I do hope that you take this next few moments to reflect on anything that's been said today, and feel free in the comments if you've seen anything else that stood out at you today or anything else that you have been convicted on, whether it's your desires being put into line, whether it's walking with the wise, or, you know, whatever that look, you know, is it that you are wanting to make your soul fat from being diligent, you know, guarding your mouth, whatever that looks like, whatever insights you've had today, feel free to write them down, journal them, but also feel free to put them in the comments and tell me all about it. So until next time, be blessed by the best, and then go be a blessing to all the rest. Love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
And redirect the gale, lift the mast but not the sail. So don't mistake the rod for wrath. It clears the weeds, it clears the path. A melody soft that steers the fight through darkest shadow into the bright. When youth is tempered by gentle nudge, they won't mistake the fall for a judge. even seeds that sprout in stone need a touch of sun to grow alone. Spare the rod, oh, sharpen the soul. Love is the anchor that keeps us whole. A guiding hand, not a swing of pain. Wisdom grows where the heart remains.